and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and it feels good to be able to do that with my voice once again. I'm so sorry about last week. I know we took the week off because I got so sick that I lost my voice. I'm both back on the podcast and back from another trip I took since then. Truly, my body knew that it had to rally between vacations, and I got home from Disney World. I was sick the next day and got better the day before I left again. I went on a beach vacation with my family and with my husband and with my little baby Pearl. It was wonderful. I also got sick there. I didn't get the cold flu mess that everyone's got going around. I got, you know, just ate a meal that didn't agree with me. I also got so dehydrated that I got my first migraine. Listen, we don't have to dwell on it. It's totally fine. All I'm saying is that now, three or four illnesses later, I'm back in the pod. We're back on schedule. And you can hear me once again because I can use my voice and it's really nice. I was so bummed out when I couldn't tell you all about my Disney World trip. But we will do that in a future week because this week we are talking about Zootopia. We are talking about Shanghai Disneyland and I cannot wait to share that episode with you. Hanukkah is now over. Happy Hanukkah to all who celebrate. It is still Shreksember. Happy Shreksember to all who celebrate. If you listen to this podcast, you celebrate Shreksember. That's just how it works. We all just like hoorah for Shrek because we love Shrek. We love our little ogre. What else has happened? I feel like I do need to publicly acknowledge that I read my copy of The Phantom of the Opera starring the Muppets while on vacation. There is a, oh God, let me Google it to see if there's a specific line about it. Phantom of Opera. Muppets. So basically it is, Muppets Meet the Classics is what the series called. And it is a book that I had eBay alerts on forever. And I finally got an affordable copy. They sometimes pop up, but they are so expensive. Basically it's the story of the Phantom of the Opera with starring the Muppets. And I'm about a third of the way through and it's fantastic. And I love it so, so, so much. I highly recommend, I was set an alert if you want it. Don't pay too much money. I did find a reasonably priced one for like $13 or something like that. But it is wonderful. It is wonderful. It is exceptional. Almost as wonderful as this episode. I don't want to keep you from it because I made you wait so long. So I'm just gonna let it ride. But once again, so sorry about last week. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Shreksember. Happy everything. And happy new theme park land opening that we get to talk about.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shanghai Disney Resort's new land, Zootopia, officially opens today. And if you haven't heard too many details about it yet, well, it's time to get jealous because this place is unbelievable. This new theme park land is Zootopia in real life, full stop. It's packed with endless gags and references to creatures and critters in every nook and cranny, all against the backdrop of a bustling metropolis and its many, many residents, including practically everyone you can remember from the film, like Fru Fru and Duke Weaselton, and even my very favorite and my Disney Experience avatar, Flash the Sloth. The land also features a brand new ride, Zootopia Hot Pursuit, featuring trackless ride technology like what you've come to know and love on Remy's Ratatouille Adventure and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway and even Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. But here, it's used a little differently, which you'll hear about in a few moments. Zootopia as a whole is so layered with detail and so many familiar sights from the film in real life. Right there, that it's impossible to even wrap one's head around all of the entertainment and jumbo popsicles and merchandise and experiences that are inside. That is, unless You are lucky enough to be sitting with a panel of Walt Disney Imagineers. Yes, a whole gaggle of them on this week's podcast. Because if you wanted to hear about how they developed a whole city out of nothing, or which Disneyland ride was used as inspiration, or even why this ride vehicle's movement is different from any others, you're about to learn all of that and so much more. We've got Rachel Miller, senior interior designer, who led interiors on the entirety of the design of the ride queue. Blaine Kennison, principal visual effects designer, who worked with Walt Disney Animation Studio on all original, all new on-screen animation within the attraction. Lucas Kading, senior ride control software engineer, who brought Shanghai's latest attraction to life. And Michelle Tritt, production manager at Disney Live Entertainment, who focused on the atmosphere show in the land. Or, in other terms, literally bringing the characters of Zootopia to life inside the land in a show that makes me miss The Muppets Present Great Moments in American History so badly. But this still kind of scratches that itch from afar. We do our best to keep this week spoiler-free, and trust me, we are dancing around some big stuff. So we're just giving you the 411 on what you can expect from when you hopefully get to visit this land. But I do need to prep you first on what happens once you step foot inside the land's attraction, because it is cool, and it is worth talking about as we discuss it further. On Zootopia Hot Pursuit, you'll enter Zootopia's police department, which you will instantly recognize from the movie, and encounter Officer Clawhauser, who's happy to gab with you about whatever's on his mind, including Gazelle's concert that evening. From there, you'll see Chief Bogo, and as new recruits, you'll board cruisers to provide backup to Nick Wilde and Judy Hopps as they zip through familiar sights and chase down Bellwether to stop her from a crime she's committed. I cannot wait to take you through this land with the minds who brought it to life. Let's go to Shanghai Disneyland and experience this incredible new land together for the very first time. Welcome, everyone, to Very Amusing. Thank you so much for being here to talk about Zootopia.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. Rachel, I would love if you could just tell us a bit about your role at Walt Disney Imagineering and what you've worked on within this new land.
Yeah, so I've been with Walt Disney Imagineering just over 10 years. And I started on Shanghai, the original base park. So going to work on Zootopia and being part of the start of the team and concept was incredible for me to not only go back to the park and see it finished for the first time in 2017, because I never got to see it finished in 2016, but also just creating a new, rich, immersive land for our guests that we knew would be incredible in Shanghai. The Chinese guests really gravitated towards Zootopia. And that's one of the things that we really wanted to focus on is that aspirational feeling of coming into the big city from your hometown and being immersed just like Judy Hopps into the culture and immersion of Zootopia. So my role was the interior designer for the land. I also was able to be the queue designer. So that was designing all of the aspects and the flow to give the story from when the film ends and when we pick up on Zootopia Hot Pursuit. So telling the story of coming in as a police officer for your first day and meeting Clawhauser, going through all the different aspects of the ZPD, the prison, catching up with Bellwether and where she's at after the film, and then also getting your briefing from Chief Bogo, going out onto the vehicle and starting your adventure with Nick and Judy. So we really wanted to make sure that the queue gave a different kind of immersion that we haven't done in Shanghai, but certainly in our parks in a very long time.
What we've seen on screen in the film was so robust and so colorful and particularly so layered. How do you approach creating a city like that from scratch?
I think what was really important was making sure that all the different zones of Zootopia were represented. And every time you looked into a facade or entered into a part of the building, that it had that same relationship. When you're coming from the attraction, it may be a bit confusing why there's three different stories in that shop and it is a small space. We wanted to make sure that the land was very active. So when you enter from Main Street, you get the impression, oh, this is fashioned by Frou Frou, and there's little Arctic shrew walkways, and the same shop is reflected for animals of every size. So making sure that the scale worked and that all of the different districts of Zootopia are represented within our small land.
It's so interesting because within the story of the land, there's so many different kinds of animals of all shapes and sizes that could call it home, creatures big and small. So how did you approach design knowing that this is a place that animals of all sizes could call home?
It was really fun, actually, because we were able to layer in different scales. So as you walk through the queue, you'll see in all the different areas, like the prison, for example, one of the main areas of the prison, the first scene where you can see all the cells, we have different things coexisting within the same space. So there's three different balconies, or three different areas, rather, through balconies where you can see the larger animals on the ground floor, the medium-sized animals, and then the small animals. So we wanted to make sure that everything was really layered and you could get different impressions. When you go into the next scene where we have the like high isolation chamber area of the prison, there's all different size doors. So we wanted to give that and that different scale and different representation of all of the animals, but also to make you kind of understand after the film ends, Judy was one of the first small police officers. So we're coming in and we're all different sizes. So now you can see how the police department has changed. When you go into the pre-show and you're in the briefing room, it's still at the scale of the larger animals. But as you go into there, you can see there's like a small little break area that's now for smaller animals and the lockers that are for medium and small animals. So we really wanted to make sure that after the film, it really was more of an inclusive environment for all sizes of different animals and not just based off of what we saw in the film.
I love that so much. That's so nice. She affected change within the police station for the future. Rachel, is there anything else about the queue that future guests should know about when they are getting ready to board Zootopia Hot Pursuit? Because it seems like this is a bit of an attraction of its own.
Yeah, I think what's important to note is we really wanted to make it not feel like a queue. We wanted to do a really immersive storytelling experience. So you go through all different areas, and we looked for inspiration from Roger Rabbit's cartoon Spin. And other experiences where you can see from one viewpoint to another and really create a vast storytelling experience through graphics and props and layering of storytelling. So you really do get a second layer of interest just going through the queue. The pre-show is incredible too. I mean, just not having a lot of queue rails in the pre-show and still feeling like you're in the film, that's one of the greatest, most immersive things we can do. It's incredible.
Oh my gosh. Well, Lucas, I know you worked on this brand new trackless ride experience at Shanghai Disneyland. Could you tell us more about Zootopia Hot Pursuit and really what guests can expect from the moment they sit down in that vehicle?
You're boarding a cruiser and you're going to go out and chase Bellwether, right? I mean, she's escaped and you want to go find her, and you're teaming up with Nick and Judy, and you're chasing them through the streets, through factories, through Mystic Oasis, just to find her. And what's interesting about this ride as opposed to other ride systems is that you can actually feel like you're chasing them, right? You're in a car. You are in a car that is not attached to a track. You can go anywhere. You can explore a scene. You can go, 1,000 miles an hour. Kidding. 60 miles an hour going chasing down the street. You can actually go into a scene and actually come back into that scene. So it's a really great ride system to be able to explore environments and actually feel like you're actually going on a real chase.
What I find personally so interesting about trackless rides at Disney parks is how even over time, after many years after they open, there's always something so magical about it that's just inherent in the way that those ride vehicles move. Are there any technological advances here seen on Zootopia Hot Pursuit that guests should be aware of? Or really, how do you push the boundaries of this new technology over and over with new rides?
Every time we do a trackless attraction, we always think of interesting and new creative ways to use that technology. And in this particular attraction, because of the nature of the story, where it's not really so linear, you're on a chase, you're following Judy wherever she's going. There's actually a special unique moment in this attraction where you go into a scene, you start looking for her, and then you like go back into a scene you'd previously been in because she continued a chase back into that original scene, and you keep on going. And in that process, you're actually seeing, other vehicles as they're going about the city as you chase her through onto the next scene. So That is one really interesting aspect we're actually able to bring into this attraction, which really, you know, is it something that you have about this attraction? It's not really other ones around the world.
Wait, that's fascinating.
It really is. Yeah, it's a lot of work to put together, but it comes out to be a really magical experience for a guest.
Oh my God. For someone like you, who's probably been on a trackless ride vehicle thousands of times, is it just so strange and jarring to do that instead of kind of be moving in that linear room to room story as we're used to?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, as a ride engineer, we get to ride not only our rides, but lots of other rides many times. And to have this really special experience where you go into a room and you actually come back to the other room, it's just surprising. It's like, oh, wow, that I didn't think you could do that. And then you go back into this other scene and suddenly you're there and you're moving on to the next. It's done very magically, I guess.
It does sound like one of those things that it is something you've maybe always wanted to develop, but it took a while to make that happen.
Well, the technology is there. For trackless systems, the technology has to be there, right? We have to make sure that no matter where the vehicles go, they will not impact or interact with other vehicles. So we have that built in. What we really needed was a good storyline to be able to use some of these advances that this technology allows us to do. And this was the right storyline. And Chase for Bellwether is just the perfect way to bring you back into the same scene. So this was a great story for our ride system.
And I know you worked with Blaine on the media design for the attraction. And I'd love to hear about what it was like to work with Walt Disney Animation Studio on this new all-original on-screen animation within the attraction.
Then working with Feature Animation, you know, I worked at Feature Animation on Zootopia as an artist. And, you know, it's been years since that movie came out, but it's really dear to lots of people's hearts. There's a couple of half domes in the ride, which is just trying to do a lot of action and falling and actually a lot of drifting, like in the car. So it enhances that chase aspect.
Wait, drifting? You got drifting on this ride?
You drift in this a few times. They even went on a special tour before the ride started, and they went and tested out cars on a racetrack so they could feel what an actual, all of this would feel like in real life. And they added it to all of the animation for the show.
But I would love to know, there are different environments within this attraction. What do you do creatively to transport riders from one to another and to reinforce that these are very separate, different places?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different elements. We look at ourselves as like a giant wheel. So, you know, everybody on the outside of this wheel, we all have our disciplines, whether it's Rachel, Michelle, Lucas, or myself. And the center is what the ride's going to be. But during the whole design process, we're all focused on our things, but we're feeding back information to what that final ride's going to be. And so there's show sets, there's black light, there's, you know, white light, there's the animation of the cars themselves, there's the media, there's paint, there's so many aspects to this. We have scripts where we have characters that walk across basically a transparent piece of cloth. And so you get dimensionality, you can see things behind these scripts, but this takes a lot of coordination with paint and lighting and media to make those things look real and exciting to the guests. So it's a really collaborative effort, but like all these things help bring each scene to life, whether it's little curtains moving a little bit so that on the next screen, you see somebody jump out from behind the curtains. The curtains themselves move a little bit so that you're like, ah, there they are. And just so much detail, you wouldn't believe it.
Well, the attraction sounds fantastic, but it also seems like the land itself is a bit of an attraction because there is so much happening. Michelle, I would love to hear from you about what you've helped create within this new Zootopia-inspired land.
Yeah, so we're doing a whole new thing with the atmosphere show in the land where it's not really even a show. It's called Disney Zootopia Comes Alive. And it's basically the characters are just living and breathing in the land. They have a set of apartment buildings, a firehouse, that they're going to just be popping out of the windows and talking with each other and talking with the guests just on a, you know, regular but not scheduled basis. So it's, you never know when you're walking through the land who's going to be popping out of the windows, interacting with each other, interacting with the guest in a completely new and different way that we've never really done before.
Oh my gosh, what was the process of of making this happen, because this is so unlike a traditional meet and greet as we're used to, where you just walk up to a character and you get to hug them. This really adds so much to the land as a whole. How do you even prepare for something like that, especially for guest interaction being such a big part of it?
You know, well, we started way at the very beginning working with WDI on what the space was going to look like, what we would need for these characters to be able to be incorporated into the land. That included kind of designs on what the buildings were going to be, what kinds of windows we would want to, you know, have the characters be able to actually interact with the guests. And then it came down to which characters we were going to use, how big, how small they needed to be. We go from Fru Fru that's tiny, Mr. Big that's tiny, but only in stature, not in name, all the way up to, you know, Kozlov. And we actually have an elephant in the scenes as well. So it's, you know, working with WDI to make sure that the land could incorporate those storylines was really a big part of what I started working on with the project. And then just continuing on with what stories do we want the characters to be talking about? What do we want? What personalities do we want to have involved in the in which characters we are bringing into the land, and how are they going to interact with each other? Because sometimes the characters that are in the space don't necessarily interact with each other in the movie, but they need to in the land because they're living in the land. So making sure that we had stories where, you know, Duke could actually talk to Bonnie and Stu and their 47 kids that are in the land, you know, was a little bit of a process. And also making sure that it worked with the Shanghai guests and the, you know, the Chinese guests that are here in Shanghai Disneyland.
Oh my gosh. And are they, just logistically, are they scattered throughout the land, or are they in one location, one facade?
We have one facade. There's about 8 windows that we play with. Not all of them are in each scene. So you never know who's going to pop out of which window, because they will move around a little bit. But the idea is really that, you know, as you're walking through the land, all of a sudden the characters will just pop out, and maybe Fru Fru will take a picture with you, or, you know, Yaks will be meditating in the window. So it really is an opportunity to bring the land to life in a way that just we've never really done before.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely fantastic, because it just reinforces that this is a living place that creatures live in, all of all sizes and of all personalities.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, you know that feeling that everyone knows something that you don't? For me, that used to be Quince, but no more. Quince is a truly astounding retailer, essentially carrying everything a person on your mood board would wear. We're talking washable silk blouses, chic leather bags, 14-karat gold jewelry, European linen dresses, and the best part of all is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They're out here with $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters. $50! Beautiful, timeless items you can wear and actually live in. Meaning, you don't have to be scared to bring them on your theme park travels. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you're sensitive to retailers like I am, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. But it's not just your everyday work-life clothes. They have everything. I recently joined a new gym, big deal for me, and desperately needed new workout clothes to wear there. It's kind of like an LA gym. Like, it kind of got to look cute. So I ordered a pair of their Ultraform bike shorts and high-rise pocket leggings. And when I tell you, the quality of these leggings is truly on par with brands I paid 3 times as much for, which really kind of makes me love these 3 times more. I'm not only going to buy them again, but actually buy the other travel stuff in my cart, because they have things like beautiful pastel suitcases for $129 and these wildly affordable compression packing cubes that I have been waiting forever to buy compression packing cubes, and they're always so pricey. And here, the price fits. So if you want to get ready for work, your new gym, travel, anything in your life, go to Quince. Quince.com/amusing will get you free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Ooh, that's nice for someone who puts stuff off like I do. That's Quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Blaine, I would love to know more about the audio animatronics within the ride queue and the ride.
Oh, yeah. We have several different characters in the queue and the ride. We have Clawhauser. We have Bogo. Of course, Nick and Judy, the main characters. And there's a few extra ones that I will tell you about that are on the ride, but they're really cool to see and a great part of the ride. It's amazing. The animation that was done on these, they look so real. They look like you look like you're talking to them in the ride. It's amazing. And, for media, we did some of the eyes, like you can see the eyes actually blink and move. And it's, that's all media that's actually playing on little projectors behind their eyes. So, it's kind of amazing that we got that all looking good and working, and it makes them look really alive. Bogo himself looks like he's real. I mean,
yeah.
You're in there and the way he talks and moves, you think you're in the briefing room with Bogo. It's amazing.
And you're saying this as professional theme park.
I know.
The first time I saw the briefing room, I had almost like a panic attack because after designing it, it was astonishing. I literally said to Dustin, our art director, I said, I can't believe they let us build this. Like, it's breathtaking. You're in the film. You're in the film. And there's no other words to describe it. It's incredible.
Oh my gosh.
Clawhauser in the lobby, he has all of these different prompts that he is like teaching you and introducing you. And there's a scene that the lights go out and he plays music. It's a lot of guest interaction. And I think people will really be surprised.
He's very expressive. Clawhauser is really, really expressive, and he's really fun. So I think the kids will definitely like Clawhauser.
Oh my God, you guys did it. You got me looking forward to waiting in a line. Oh my gosh. Can you talk to me about what this land is like at nighttime? What can people expect once the sun goes down?
I can talk about it real quickly and anyone else can jump in, but it is beautiful at night. It's just amazing. This land is so immersive. There's so many things to look at. I've been spending the last month in this land and I still am finding things that I've never seen before, never noticed before. And then at night, it is even completely more different because there's more lighting and more, visual aspects. We currently are not doing our show at night, but I've already said to a lot of people that the land looks so gorgeous at night that we really should be incorporating as much as we can at night because people are going to want to be in this space after dark.
Whichever animal is nocturnal, you got to get them on the horn.
Exactly. And maybe the shows are a little bit different at night,
Ooh. I mean, really, what does it feel like when you first step into this land? Because a lot of the perspective I've seen has just been of the skyline and of buildings and of the streets separately. But when you're standing in it, how does it feel? What is it like around you?
Oh, it's amazing. It's so immersive and there's so many different details. Like there's all these mini shows that are happening all over the place. You know, I don't want to spoil too much, but like,
spoil it.
there was a scene in the main movie where there was lemmings, the little lemmings that were going down these tubes as if they were, that's how they were getting transported.
The ZTA. Well,
yeah. Those have been recreated and you can see them going down the sides of the building and stuff. It's the amount of detail in this, having worked on the movie and now worked on the ride and then the area out front, it's amazing. And like Michelle was saying, it's like every day you find something new and you worked on the ride and you're finding new things. So it's really, really fun.
Whoa. Okay. I need to know for each of you, what is the one detail that you personally find to be the most special or are most charmed by?
There's so many things. It's so hard to narrow it down. I've been, I'm actually going through, okay, what about this one? What about this one? What about this one? It's hard to narrow it down really to one individual thing. I would say that what I love about the land is that if you look up, you see things different. If you look down, you see things different. You know, kind of going to that size that we talked about earlier, there's a lot of details down low, and then there's a lot of details up high that if you're just going in and looking at, you know, just kind of eye level, you're missing out on a lot of things. So I think one of my favorite things is all the little doorways that are for the, you know, the smaller creatures that are kind of hidden in a little corner or up above. You know, there's some bat apartments close to our atmosphere space. So, you know, there's all sorts of details like that that are just so clever have not been in a land before.
Yeah, like Michelle was saying, there's hundreds of windows within this land, and we have draperies in most of them. So each one has a different story based on which area or district that animal comes from and what the drape would make sense in that story. So we have like heavier fabrics and ones that are more like tundra town style apartments. And there's activations with speakers and special effects. I mean, it's truly incredible. Our guests are going to love not only exploring the land, but also just taking pictures, especially at night with the show lighting.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm wowed by all the work that it took to make the drapes, let alone the whole land. Oh my God. Okay, Lucas, I gotta know. What's your little charming bit? What do you think is the most special about the land or something that stood out to you?
So for me, I think it's kind of cheating a little bit, but I do like the entire ride area. I think in every spot, every place you investigate in the attraction, it's just full of details. And every scene that you're going through, it just kind of, it really pulls you into that scene. And I've ridden this ride thousands of times, I mean, many, many, many times. And I'm still finding new, interesting, creative things they've added. And little, fish over here, or details of animals over there, or like little habitats, little leaves and spots I hadn't noticed before. And every little piece of it, like moss even, on guardrails and areas in the attraction, it's like every detail has been covered. You could ride that ride, you know, for 10 years and you'd still find something new to look at. So I'm just really, even after riding it so many times, I'm really drawn in by the entire environment they've created in the attraction.
Gosh, it really sounds like, you know, there's a certain type of Disney Parks fan who's really interested in the details on, you know, the tales of the park. And this sounds like Main Street dialed up to 10,000. Like anybody who's ever been like, you know, there's a piano player up there, like that person is going to lose their mind within this land.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God. And Blaine, is yours the lemmings? It's okay if it is.
But well, that's one of my favorite elements, but I'm a little bit partial to, you know, you're in this big city and it's like you're in Times Square and there is this huge Zootopitron that has all kinds of content on it. And of course, we worked on it. It's like 28 minutes worth of new content, ads, commercials, things that guests have never seen before. There's a fruit commercial that I'm not going to talk about, but everyone has to go see. And it's amazing. One of our artists, Lujan Lucima, she put all of this stuff together and it's so creative. There's, you know, there's telephone commercials. There's all kinds of stuff. And it keeps everybody visually looking at it. And it's got the backdrop of Zootopia right behind it, all lit up at night. It's amazing.
Oh my God. I was planning on asking all of you if there were any Easter eggs we should know about, but I feel like there could be an entire book written about them.
And don't forget about Hidden Mickeys.
Oh my God.
I was just going to say, I just found two hidden Mickeys yesterday that one of which I didn't know about when I was pointing out to other people. So there are hidden Mickeys in the land, definitely.
Okay, Michelle, I'm going to need to know at least one of them. I got to know.
I would say just, you know, look towards the disco area and you might find one.
Okay, Rachel, I feel like you got an Easter egg sitting on the tip of your tongue. Do you have one?
No, I'll leave it for our guests to explore.
It sounds like, I mean, a lot of our listeners are hoping to or currently planning trips to Shanghai Disney Resort. And, you know, a new land is worth traveling for by itself. But it sounds like this isn't the type of thing you just show up to and quickly walk around and go on the ride and leave. This is kind of feels like a mini park of its own.
I think people aren't going to want to leave. They're going to want to keep walking around, taking pictures, exploring all of the little tiny doors and large doors and different aspects of the show. I think people are going to really love it.
Oh my gosh. My most important question I have to ask all of you, this is a really serious one. Has anyone had a popsicle?
I have not, but I have had one of the donuts.
Tell me everything.
So they have the really big donut. And then the really small big donut. And I had the small big donut and it was amazing. Very, very good. So I highly recommend. All the food has been looking amazing. There's corn flavored popcorn that Stu and Bonnie have brought to Zootopia.
I did not know this. Oh my gosh.
There's plenty of food available that is all very cute and very wonderful.
Oh, wow.
I have not had a popsicle yet, but that is the one thing on my list. As soon as this land opens, as soon as I get the opportunity, I'm going straight there because I just can't wait to taste it. I grew up with popsicles as a kid, and I have that kind of, mentality about it. Just really excited about having popsicles. So I'm just very interested to see how they've transformed the flavor just for Zootopia Land. I'm just excited for it.
I will take the cell phone, and I will admit that I thought the giant popsicle was a popsicle and not a marshmallow on a stick, I believe. I fell for it. The culinary team was real good.
Admittedly, I was thinking the same thing. Like, they would actually give you a popsicle that size. Like, you know, in the summer heat in Shanghai, I just don't know how that would, quite work. So I'm kind of glad they just make it a marshmallow. But
yeah,
it's going to be good either way, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh. Well, is there anything else about this land we haven't discussed that any of you want to chime in and tell us about? Because every detail sounds great. But in case there's a little bit more.
I would say the merchandise is going to be amazing. I saw a couple of little sneak peeks that I probably can't talk about, but I'm really excited to see the merchandise. I think it's going to be really, really cute. And, you know, the guests here just love anything that's cute. And they're definitely hitting it out of the park with the merchandise here. It's going to be really cute, especially in Frou Frou's space where everything is so small anyway. And then having cute little plush and other things in that space is going to be amazing.
I wish you all could see Rachel nodding her head. Like, I believe everything that is happening right now. Oh my gosh. Yeah, the merchandise, I haven't heard a peep about it. I can't wait to see what it is.
Some of them are a little bit geared towards the characters that we have in our show. So keep your eyes out for those. But I have not seen them actually finished yet. So I'm not sure when they're coming out, but they're going to be adorable.
Which reminds me, I meant to ask you, Michelle, are there original characters we haven't seen before that are part of this show experience?
Yeah, so most of our characters have come from the movie, but we do have two new characters that we were really inspired by the land itself and the firehouse that we have in our area where all of our characters are living. So we have Greta Gerbelli, who is a very cute little gerbil, who is also the fire chief. And Nose, which is our elephant, that gets very excited when he hears the word fire. So if you're watching the show and you're near Nose, you may get wet.
Oh my God. I would go to this land just for this alone.
Yeah, they're both really cute. And they, you know, like I said, interact with all the other characters. There's a really great interaction with Greta and Duke. Duke's built making a pie and things go hilariously wrong. And then the fire chief has to save the day. So they're two really great new additions to the characters.
Oh my gosh. Thank you all so much for telling me all about Zootopia. It sounds amazing. And I can't wait for it to open so everyone can see it firsthand.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Carly. First things first, I have to get this off my chest. You are a voice twin with Naeem Persad. I think I'm pronouncing her name incorrectly, but from SNL and Scream Queens. That's what I think almost every time I hear the show, so I don't know if anyone's ever told you about your voice twin, but there we go. The real question, and I hope I seem calm and casual about it, is that I am planning a trip to Disney World that will only be 2 days, and it will be around the holidays. I have not been since 2008, and I am panicked. I know the California parks so well. I don't remember this feeling. I feel very overwhelmed, and I don't know. What park would you start at? I guess is the main question. Or what are two-day parks? Or do I just, like, you're going to tell me I'm having a mental breakdown, and assuming that I could park hop during the holiday season is just a pipe dream and insanity, you know? I haven't seen Pandora, I haven't been on Tron, I haven't been on Guardians, and Tower of Terror is still Tower of Terror out there, so like all four parks seem unmissable, and I am at a breaking point, possibly. So any less than a help would be terrific otherwise. Thank you for the podcast, and thank you for all your help. All right, take care. Bye.
Okay, don't panic. Don't panic. I've got you. Because what you are feeling is kind of what it feels like to go to Disney World sometimes. And I say that as someone who just felt like this a few weeks ago. I'm with you. But before I give you advice on how to plan your trip and how to have a successful visit, I just want to remind you that simply being there is magical. You might get stressed, but there are stressful parts of Disney even when there aren't crowds. I mean, rain, hurricanes, snack carts closing earlier than you expect, family, work emergencies. There are so many reasons to stress out. And I don't want you to pre-worry about the crowds, because when you're there, you won't just be walking down Main Street. You'll be walking down Main Street with a layer of holiday magic on top of it. So just remember that this is special. This is a special time. And yes, it's going to be busy and the crowds will dictate your day, but that's okay. The main advice I have for someone traveling to Disney World at a busy kind of peak time is just to focus on what is most important. What is most essential for you coming out of this trip? What are those two or three things you really want to do? And how can we best prepare for that? When I recently went with Pearl, I had just one big goal per day. One thing that I hitched my wagon to and was like, we need to do this and then I'll be happy and the rest of the day will be good. And I recommend the same sort of approach for you. It really helped make all of my other decisions like transportation and dining and even what time we went to bed at night fall into place. And sure, we ended up doing other rides and other experiences and duh, we ate. We still did fun stuff. But I found that it kind of calmed all of the noise to help me focus on one thing per day. Like on the first day, all we had to do was meet Mickey Mouse. That was it. And we did, and then everything else was gravy. We will talk about this at a later day because I have so much to tell you about that trip. I'm not entirely sure who you're going with or what the vibe of this trip is or even how close to Christmas Day you're going, but I want to just mention that you are actually in a better position than you think you are. I say this because all of the rides you're kind of interested in are all individual Lightning Lane attractions. So you can possibly get them by buying entry and bypassing the line, or at least knowing where you stand on them by mid-morning. Even better, you can buy multiple for one day across different parks if you choose to park hop, which makes your goals not as lofty. If you are staying on Disney property, remember, you have an advantage. You can book those earlier than other park guests. But if you're not, remember, the crowds will dictate your day. And that's okay. Again, pinpointing what is most important to do on this trip will absolutely help you get through. Sidebar, if anyone is listening to this episode in the future and kind of wondering the same thing about a trip, be sure to check the dates of Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, which this year in 2023 runs until December 22nd, so it doesn't apply here. But generally speaking, if you have a park hopper, it's actually good to start there on the day of a party because the park should be quieter. But if you don't have park hopper, then book your Magic Kingdom day when you can see fireworks and you can spend the whole day there. Otherwise, it'll close early and you'll kind of get shut out. Okay, some other general advice for this wonderful holiday trip because you're going to have so much fun even though people will be there. Pack snacks, which is, I think, my advice for everything at this point. But pack snacks. You will be miserable if you are hungry, and you'll be even more miserable if you have to wait in line for food instead of seeing and doing other things. If food isn't your number one priority on this trip, which it doesn't sound like it is, having granola bars and other protein-packed go-tos can save so much time on a busy park day. Kind of related to that, consider mobile ordering your food early, like early. You can place orders for later in the day. You don't have to place it for immediately. And doing so guarantees you'll have food later. And you can just kind of plan your day around that, knowing that you have a go-to for a meal. Now, if all else fails while you're there and you're like, I really need a jolt of holiday spirit, remember that there are wonderful holiday displays at Disney Resort hotels. I'm specifically going to recommend Boardwalk, Yacht Club, Beach Club, because you can walk right outside of Epcot through the International Gateway and World Showcase, go visit those and come right back in the park. The go-to recommendation is usually Grand Floridian because they got the big tree and they got the gingerbread house selling gingerbread inside the gingerbread house, and it's adorable. And it is so busy in there usually that I feel like it might be tricky to get in at peak holiday time. So that is always supposedly an option. You can take the walking paths, you can take the monorail in. It should be available, but just warning in case you build your day around the gingerbread house, just know that. But it is, if you do want a little bit of a holiday charm, you can always exit Epcot and go to those hotels more easily and come right back in. But both are great. I mean, if you can get to Grand Floridian, it's beautiful, so try to do it. But I don't want you to, you know, waste a lap on the monorail for nothing. But anyway, regardless of potentially fortuitous gingerbread recommendations, you just need to keep in mind on this trip that you are not going to be able to do it all. But you will enjoy what you can do, because even being there during the holidays is special. I feel like there's one other thing. Oh, the name twin. Okay, so I think you conflated Nassim Pedrad from SNL with Nagin Farsad, who is a comedian who I've heard on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, but I think she's known for some other stuff. I know her from that. Regardless, I did a little bit of the same because I'm like, wait, I thought that name was the comedian. Anyway, I listened to some Nassim Pedrad stuff and I kind of see it. I will say that Okay, so I tried to find clips of Nassim talking and hilariously could only find for a minute ones from her show Chad, where she plays a teenage boy in a completely different vocal register. And I hit play on the video and was like, whoa, I don't think that's me, until I obviously put it together. I also came across some pretty unhinged Netflix movie that she starred in that I'd never heard of. That seems like a girls trip movie. The reviews were bad, but the trailer was good. Anyway, I kind of see it. I kind of see what you're saying. I don't know if I... In my head, my voice sounds different, but I kind of see it, and it's a compliment because she's known for making noise out of her mouth. So I'll take it as a compliment. I think that is all of the holiday advice. Thank you for calling. Let me know if you have any other questions. I am here to help, and have a wonderful, wonderful holiday trip. That's our show. Much for listening, and thank you to Blaine Kennison, Rachel Miller, Lucas Kading, and Michelle Tritt for coming on the podcast. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. Why not? It's like a holiday gift you don't have to pay anything for, and it helps more people discover our show, which I thank you for each and every day. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS and let us know what you think about, I don't know, theme parks, life, questions, anything you want my advice on, from a trip to, I don't know, the lotions. I don't know. I was going to say baby products, but I only have a young baby. I don't really know much yet. You can also send any of those things as a voice note to 747churros by texting it or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. You can purchase Shrek Semper goods and Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com. You can follow me, Carly Wiesel, at Carly Wiesel on all those things. And join the Foamily at facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. This episode was edited vigorously by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey, it's Mom. Happy Shrek-cember, everyone, and happy Hanukkah. I had the best time at Disney World, but I'm going to save that for next week. This week's Very Amusing podcast is epic. Amy McKenney, I hope I said it correctly, stayed for two nights at Shrek Swamp Air&V. First time ever winner. It's like winning the lottery. This is so amazing. Sleep three, she got snacks, she got meals. But best of all, she got Shrek cracks. Like, how appropriate is that? How fun. Very well thought out. I thoroughly enjoyed this week's episode. This very amusing one was one of the best. Amazing. You are amazing, Carly. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. I love you, John Stamos. Yep, I added John Stamos back into the mix. I'll explain next week why. Can't wait. Bye.